Beis Adaf Chaf Aleph. We are starting on Chaf Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, starting with the words Amar Rav Huna. Gemara now for the last number of days has been discussing and deliberating what kabbarnas are to be brought on Yantav itself. Every Yantav, a person is required to bring Shamicha Giga Olas Ri'ya. In addition to that, there's also Shami Simcha. And we've been discussing these three kabbarnas in some detail the last number of days. As far as the Shami Chagiga is concerned, everyone agrees that that is brought on Yantav itself. It is a shlamim, going to be consumed by the Kohen and the owner, with parts of it also going up onto the Mizbech as well. Certainly an element of Ochel Nefesh, plus it is a Chovas Hayom. So therefore, according to everybody, it is brought on Yantav itself. The Olas Riyah, subject to Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says that the Olas Riyah is brought on Yantav itself. Beis Hillel has a drasha that arrives at that conclusion, where meanwhile Shitas Beis Shammai is the Olas Riyah is not brought on Yantav itself, but only afterwards during the Yemei Tashlumin. And then the Shami Simcha, we didn't discuss in much detail, but anyway, those are the basic outline of the Machlokas that we saw the last number of days. What about Nedar Menedavos? Person made voluntary offerings that he pledged that he was going to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing to do with Yantav, just simply voluntary offerings. So can they be brought on Yantav itself? So the Gemara also debated that issue, and both on Da'apim Yutes and Chaf of Beitza. So it turned into a machlokas tonight whether or not Nedar Menedavos can or cannot be offered on Yantav itself. The Gemara is going to be spending a little bit of time over here in the beginning of today's daf, analyzing the position that Nedar Menedavos cannot be offered on Yantav. Before we start with the Gemara, just to think about it for a moment, what does that mean? Nedar Menedavos cannot be offered on Yantav? Meaning Nedar Menedavos, let's of course assume we're talking about a Kamer Shlamim over here. So it does not have a Kviyas Man. There is no imperative that it be brought on Yantav itself, but meanwhile, nevertheless, like any Karmel Shlamim, so part of it's going to be offered, so part of it's going to be eaten by the owners, part of it's going to be eaten by the Kohen, and some of it's going to be offered onto the Mizbech as well. So easily one could make the argument that there's Ochel Nefesh with every Karmel Shlamim that's offered. So something to think about, and the truth of the matter is the Gemara is really going to be addressing this in a short amount of time from now in today's daf. And that is, what exactly would be the problem of offering a neder or nedava of a karmel shlamim on Yantav itself? It seemingly has an element of ochel nefesh. Stay tuned as we're going to address that question a little bit later on. But meanwhile, I'm Rav Huna Ladivrei, I'm Nedava Nedava Sein Krevim Miyantav. So let's assume now, like the position that neder and nedava cannot be offered on Yantav. So Rav Huna wants to give analysis within that position. Lo tema midaraisa mechzei chasiv rabbanan hu degazir b'hu gzer Hashem yishah. So Rav Huna says, let me tell you what is not the correct pshat. What is not the correct pshat is that midaraisa is really okay to offer on Yantav, and it just happens to be a gzera d'rabban and some sort of rabbinic decree, notably because of shihiyah, because of people procrastinating, lingering, meaning that if people have the knowledge they can offer it on Yantav, which, again, within this wrong pshat, midaraisa would be fine, it would be okay, so they'll just simply delay and postpone and only bring it on Yantav itself. But if people do that, so then what may end up coming to be is that you will not be offering it at any kind of timely fashion, and you may be in violation of Baal Te'acher. And so the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to offer it on Yantav, trying to motivate people to bring it even earlier, so one would not come and violate the Isser Baal Te'acher. So Rav Huna says, file that under the category of, that is the wrong pshat. Just simply not the correct pshat. Ela afilu midaraisa nami lo chazei. But really, midaraisa doesn't, it cannot offer it on Yantav. Meaning, according to Rav Huna, the correct pshat is that to the position that Nedar Menedavos are not offered on Yantav, that's afilu min ha-Torah. Now, how does he arrive at that conclusion? The ashtei alachem dechovas ayom nenu, because let's take a look at the ashtei alachem, the two loaves of bread that are offered on Shavuos. V'legelemegzer shem yisha. Now, here there is clearly no, there's no concern about procrastination, about delaying, because the Shtei Alechem needs to be brought on Shavuos itself. And meanwhile, the baking of the Shtei Alechem is not going to be overriding not Shabbos, not Yantav. We learned in the Mishnah some time ago that the baking of the Shtei Alechem has to be done before Yantav, and if the day before Yantav turns out to be a Shabbos, so it's going to be done before Shabbos as well. And the point of the Gemara is that since we see that the baking of the Shtei Alechem is not going to be overriding neither Shabbos nor Yantav, the Gemara is now making the following comparison. Well, the baking of the Shei Alechem is really no different than bringing Neder Nedava, meaning it's an activity that is a carbon activity that doesn't need to be done on that particular day. And since it does not need to be done that particular day, it can't be done on that particular day. That's the Gemara's comparison. It is a, the comparison needs a lot of work. It needs a lot more understanding. We're comparing the baking of the Shtei Alechem, which is not the actual avoda. It's not the offering of the carbon. It's only a hechsher. It's only there to prepare and serve as a preparatory stage for the carbon, as opposed to what we're discussing right now, the actual offering of Neder Nedava. So admittedly, the comparison is not the smoothest comparison, but still, Rav Huna would like to use that as a basis and say that just like we know that the baking of the Shei Alechem is not going to be overrunning Shabbos and Yom Tov, so to the offering Neder Nedava, which again is not, does not have to be offered on Shabbos, since it does not have to be offered on Shabbos, does not have to be offered on Yom Tov, therefore it can't be offered on Yom Tov, and that's even on the Raisa level. Good. Ibailu, the Gemara continues its analysis of this position of Ned and Dava cannot be offered on Yom Tov, the Divrei Amar and Dava saying Krev Yom Tov, Avra V'Shachamai. So let's say, Bidi Yavid Yishachtin. Again, you shouldn't have. Ned and Dava should not be offered on Yom Tov, but somebody went ahead and shachted it. Obviously, a Kohen. Doesn't have to be a Kohen, but anyway. So they shechted an anyantiv. So now what do you do? So, Rav Amar Zorikas Adam Amenasa Hatir Basar Ba'achila. So Rav says, yeah, you could do Zorikas Adam at this point in time, despite the fact that you should not have shechted it, but right now you did shecht it. So, you can do Zorikas Adam, but provided that there's meat to eat. Now remember, it's Yantiv, remember it's under the Nedava. So the truth of the matter is that, assuming, of course, that there's some meat, which under normal circumstances, there'd be a lot of it. It's an entire animal. So therefore, you could do the Zrika Saddam. Rava Beravuna Amar Zrika Saddam Amnasa Akhtari Morim Le'erev. And according to Rava Beravuna, even if there's no meat, the Gemara is going to make this point really clearly in just a moment, even if there's no meat, and even if all you have is just but the Imurim, and you're going to be offering the Imurim tonight, meaning after Yantiv, that is enough justification to go ahead and be Zrika Saddam. So my Benayika Benayu, Nit Mabasar, oh, Shavad. So the Gemara says, now the difference between these two positions is, let's say the meat either becomes tame or you lost the meat. So the Rav lo zarik. So according to Rav now, there is no justification to go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Meaning you shechted the carbon. And again, what happened to the carbon is either it became tame or you lost it. And all you're left with is the dam. But the only thing now that we have is haktaras imurim. For Rav, that's not enough of an allowance to go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Rav Baravuna zarik. And according to Rav Baravuna, that simply would be sufficient. Meaning that's enough to go ahead and to allow Zrikas Adam, Meisve. So the Gemara now challenges, based on the following brisa, Kivsei Atzeres, Sheshachtel Shaloshma. So let's say I have the Kvasim of Shavuos. Two Kvasim are offered every Shavuos. It is a Shalmei Tzibor. And it was Shechted either Shaloshma, Sheshachtel Min Lefnezmana, Min Lacherzmana. So it was Shechted improperly. Either it was Shechted with a bad Machshava, meaning you had another carbon in mind, or too early or too late. Either way, Adam Yizarek v'Abasa Yochal. So the blood can be sprinkled and the meat can be consumed. V'im Haisa Shabbos Lo Yizrok. Now, what let's say it happens to be that Shavuos coincides with Shabbos. So under those circumstances, you cannot do the Zrikas Adam V'im Zarek. Now, if you went ahead and you sprinkled the blood, as we turn to the top of Chafav Amid Aleph, Hurza Amnas Laktri Morim Larev. So therefore, it would be create ritzui, but that's only in order to offer the imurim that particular evening. Now, what comes out over here is as follows. If Shavuos and Shabbos coincide with one another, so unlike where it's just Shavuos by itself, so therefore it's Yom Tov and you're allowed to cook. But obviously, with Shavuos and Shabbos coinciding with one another, so when you shech the carbon, you're just simply not going to be in a position where you're going to be able to cook the meat of the carbon. It's Shabbos. Shabbos, there's no heter of Ochel Nefesh, despite the fact that it also is Yom Tov. So be that as it may, so now we find ourselves in a position where I shechted it on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and there was no ability to eat. And the Braisa goes on to say that in a circumstance where Bidi Eved, if the blood is sprinkled, okay, so now we could do the Haktaras Nimurim that evening. And the Gemara now makes a very simple diuk. Im Zark Di Eved in Lechatrila. So that means to say that you shouldn't be doing the Zrika, but if I did the Zrika, so then it would be okay, but that's only if I did the Zrika, which means that Lichat Chila should not do the Zrika. So Bisham la Rava Nicha, so according to Rava, makes perfect sense. Rava tells you, that if the animal was shechted, despite the fact that improperly it was shechted, but if the animal was shechted, and there is meat to eat, so then you could do Zrika Saddam. If there's no meat to eat, you cannot do Zrika Saddam. That's exactly what we just learned in the Braisa. El Rava Baravuna Kasha. But according to Rava Baravuna, it's going to be difficult. Kasha, the Gemara says, you know what? It's going to be difficult. Meaning you're right. According to Rava Baravuna, if you have a Haktaris Zimurim, that should be enough grounds and justification to go ahead and do Zrikas Nadam. The Braisa says that only works B'Bidyevet, not L'Chatchila. Okay, so the Gemara just simply concedes that this Braisa over here is not going to be a good support to Rava Baravuna. Ibaisema, or alternatively, the Gemara says, Shani Shvos Shabbos, Bishvos Yontov. The Gemara gives a really interesting answer, and that is maybe no. Maybe in defense of Rava Baravuna will say the following. That look, Zrikas Adam is a Shvos. It's an Isser Drabanan. The Gemara over here does not articulate, does not clearly describe and define what exactly the Isser Drabanan is regarding Zrikas Adam. And the easiest way to say it is that the Zrikas Adam, if in fact there is no Avoda being done or being performed, or let's say a little bit better, meaning you shouldn't have done the Zrikas Adam. So we could say that the Zrikas Adam is a violation of Muksa. Could say something along those lines. However, what we can say clearly, because the Gemara says it clearly, is that it's an issue to Rabbanan to do so. And even though, according to Rava Baravuna, so he says that if it was just Yontif, and we had the ability to do Zrikas Adam, well, we shouldn't have done Zrikas Adam, but if you did the Zrikas Adam, so it would be, if I shechted the animal, so the Zrikas Adam can be done, even if all it means is that we're going to be makter imorim that evening, so within that position, the Gemara now wants to make a distinction between Shabbos versus Yontov. What he was describing was just simply Yontov, meaning, and so now we're talking about an Isser Shvos on Yontov, as opposed to the Braisa, which clearly was talking about an Isser Shvos on Shabbos. And what the Gemara now is proposing is that the Isser Shvos on Shabbos is just simply more significant, more serious than the Isser Shvos on Yontov. Now, how is that? Why is that? So ostensibly, because when you compare and contrast Shabbos to Yontov, Shabbos just simply comes out to be more chamer than Yontov. We know that in terms of onus, we know that in terms of punishment, we know that in terms of malachas, there are just simply more malachas that are covered on Shabbos than there are on Yontov, vis-a-vis cooking and such. And so therefore, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Isurei Derabanan, even though it's the same Isur Derabanan, but there's still going to be gradations and levels of Isur Derabanan, a Shabbos as opposed to Yontif. So in the Braisa, it says that you should not be doing Zrikas Adam. According to Rabbi Baravuna, you can. Rabbi Baravuna was talking about Yontif, the Braisa was talking about Shabbos. And the Gemara says, and that could be a way to distinguish between the two. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Bamine, we're in Chafala from an Aleph, we are. Five lines from the top of the Amud. Bamine, Rav Avya Sava, Me Rav Huna. So Rav Avya, the elder, asks the following question from Rav Huna. Behema Chetzer Shanachri. Vechetzer Sheyisra Amalu Shachta V'yamtav. So let's say you have an animal, half of it's owned by Jew, half of it's owned by a non-Jew, a partnership within the animal. Can I shecht said animal on Yontif? So Amar Le Mutar. So his answer is very clear. You're allowed to. It's fine. In other words, the Shechita for the Simchas Yontif, even though only 50% is owned by a Jew, so that's going to be enough justification to go ahead and shaft the animal on Yontif. Amalei v'chim ha-bein zelen darmel davos. So he asks him what seems to be a bomb kasha. And that is that how is that any different than Neder Nadava? Meaning we know that there is an opinion out there that Neder Nadava cannot be offered on Yontif. We know there's an opinion. We spent the last 13 minutes discussing this particular position of Neder Nadava cannot be offered on Yontif. Rav Huna made the observation that that works on a Doraisa level, meaning that midaraisa one is banned and barred from offering Neder Nadava on Yontif. We just discussed that according to the opinion that Neder Nadava cannot be offered on Yontif, what happens if the evidence was shechted? Can you be Zorikas Adam? But anyway, but what we know, however, is that Neder Nadava cannot be offered on Yontif. Again, it's Machlokas Tanayim, but we're working within the position it cannot be offered on Yontif. So, Neder Nadava, so what is that? So basically, it's a partnership, right? Some of the Neder Nadava is going to be consumed by the owner. In fact, most of it's going to be consumed by the owner. Some of it's going to be consumed by the Kohen, that's a Chaz of Ishok, and some of it's going to go into the Mizbeach. So, just like when it comes to an animal that is owned partnership between Jew and non-Jew, and when asked a question, so Rav Huna very clearly states that one is allowed to shech that animal. Meanwhile, when it talks about Neder and Dava, which is basically the same construct, some of it's owned by a Jew, some of it's owned by a Kohen, some of it's owned by the Mizbeach. Okay, and the Mizbeach is not Ochel Nefesh, that may be true, but still, how is that any different than the animal where part of it's owned by Jew and part of it's owned by non-Jew? So Amr Leh is such a difficult question. Amr Leh, so when Rav Huna now is addressing the question. He says, Orva Parech, look at the bird flying in the air. And as Rashi points out over here, it's just simply changing the topic. So the, he was not prepared to answer the question. And he goes on to explain. Well, he doesn't go on to explain why he changes the topic. But after Rav Avi leaves, so now, Kinafik Amrle Rabba Bray, so Rabba turns to his father, Rav Huna, and he says to him, Lav Haina Rav Avi Saba, de Mishtabech Le Mar Begave, de Gave Rabahu. So, you know who just asked you the question? You know who just walked in? You know who just walked out? That was none other than Rav Avia. And you've been praising him up and down forever. You said he was a great man. And Rav Huna's son just simply does not understand. He asked you a question, and what are you going to do? You just change the topic of discussion? I don't understand what just happened. So Amrle Umay Avile. So Rav Huna in defending himself, so he says to his son, well, what do you want me to do? So Ani Ayom Samchuni Ba'ashishos Radfuni B'tapuchim. Quoting the Pasuk in Shir Shir, basically he's saying I'm exhausted. And as Rashi explains over here, I gave Shir for a very long time, and I'm just simply exhausted. I need food. I need to recharge. I need to re-energize. So Uvaimene Milso Dabai Taimam. So, and he's asking me something that needs an explanation, and right now I just simply don't have the mental energy to give him the proper explanation that's necessary. Okay. The time am I. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. So now Rav Huna was asked a really difficult question, and Rav Huna at this juncture was not giving an answer. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, but we need an answer. Meaning so that we're going to assume that an animal that's chetzi owned by a Jew, chetzi owned by a non-Jew, you're allowed to shech l'yantav. And we are also saying at the very same time that Ned and Nadava cannot be offered on Yantav. What's the difference? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So when it comes to an animal owned in partnership between Jew and non-Jew, so how else are you going to be matur the portion of the Jew and that is Shechita? You cannot get to a Kezias, one Kezias of meat without doing Shechita. So shechita is necessary for one kezias, and so therefore, even if the Jew owned a small partnership, a small percentage of the animal, it's still going to be the same shechita that's going to be matir his percentage. But when it comes to neder nedav, he cannot shechta on yomtov. Why not? Because the kohanim were receiving portions of the neder nedav, so they're getting it mishulchan gavoa from the table on high. And basically what the Gemara means to be saying is that when you shechta neder nedava, so we don't view it like a partnership. We don't say that some of it's owned by a Jew, some of it's owned by a Kohen, some of it's owned by the Mizbech. Here's the way we look at it. We look at it as if it's kulo shel Mizbech. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in total. And now what happens is that after you shecht it, so now after you shecht it, and only after you shecht it, a portion goes to the Israel, a portion goes to the Kohen. So it's fundamentally different than an animal that's owned in partnership. An animal is owned in partnership. The Jew currently, right now, owns 50% of it. Masha'enke, when it comes to Neder Nedava. So the owner of that carbon owns none of it. And the only thing that he's getting is just simply rights to eat part of the animal after it's shechted. So the Gemara says, in that regard, the two cases are totally not comparable. Amar of Chista. Rav Chista now says the following halacha: Behema chetzer shenachar v'chetzer sheyisrael mutar l'shachta miyamtav. If I have an animal where half of it's owned by a Jew, half of it's owned by a non-Jew, so you're allowed to shachta and yamtav. The efshel lechazayis baser below shechita. Now it happens to be that Rav Huna said the exact same point, but Rav Chista is really setting us up now for a contrasting point. Isa, but if I have dough chetzer shenachar v'chetzer sheyisrael, where this dough is owned 50-50 percentage between Jew and non-Jew. Aser la'afosa b'yamtov. What you cannot do is bake that bread on yamtov. Da'efshel le mafaga b'lisha. Because while you're kneading the dough, what you could do easily is that you could just simply split up the dough. In other words, this dough is owned half by a Jew, half by a non-Jew, and you're kneading the dough. So now what you could do is that you don't have to bake the whole thing together. You could just simply break it up into two halves. And so therefore, you don't have to at all bake the portion of the non-Jew. So what comes out over here is that Rav Chisda now is making a difference between the shechting of an animal that's owned in partnership versus the baking of the dough that's owned in partnership. And the difference, of course, being is that when it comes to the shechting, there's no way to divide the animal between the portion of the Jew and the portion of the non-Jew. It'll be one shechting for both. But as opposed to baking, you could break up the dough prior to the baking. Meisav Rav Chana Bar Chanilai. So the Gemara goes on and presses on this issue. He says, "Klavim bizman sharam ochlim mimenu." So So the Gemara over here compares and contrasts it to the following brisa. The brisa here is talking about isas kalavim. So literally it's a dough of dogs. And as Rashi points out over here, we're talking about bread that's made from wheat, where it was pounded, the wheat was pounded, but most of the bran was left in the wheat. Now, generally speaking, if a lot of bran is left in the wheat, so it's not really that consumable by humans, and for the most part, it's consumable by dogs. Over here, as Rashi points out, so some of the bran was removed, so really this bread could be eaten both by the dogs and by the shepherds as well. Okay, so it's described over here as Isas Kalavim Bizman Sharom Ochli Mimeno. So it's the bread of the dogs, but at the same time, the shepherd still can eat a little bit of it. So now, does it have the status of bread? So as we're about to point out, the answer is yes, many times over. So chayev is bechala. So one is chayev to be mafresh chala, meaning it has the status of bread. Uma arvin ba mishafin ba, and also it could be used for the erev chatzeres. It could be used for the sheet of mavos. Uma varchan alav mazan alaha, and you make a bracha rishon on, and you make a bracha achron on it. V'nefes b'yomtov, and you're allowed to bake it on yomtov, meaning it's meichel adam, and you're allowed to bake it on yomtov. V'adam b'yotze b'yidei chavasa b'pesach, and as long as you bake it in a way in which it does not become chametz, meaning it remains matzah, so then you can fulfill your obligation of achilas matzah on Pesach. Okay, adkan. So that's the brisa, and what comes out now from this brisa is that I have this basically shepherd's bread, where it can be eaten both by the shepherd and by the dog. And so now it's kind of like a partnership. And so for the portion that is the eaten by the human, so that obviously could bake on yantum. What about the portion eaten by the dog? So presumably you're not allowed to bake that on yantum. And meanwhile, the brisa says, with clarity, you're allowed to bake that on yantum. Ve'amai. And now the Gemara asks exactly that question. Va'ayav shalol mafaga b'lisha. So one could break it up while kneading it, and you don't have to bake the whole thing. And if, in fact, Rav Chista is right that the dough where it's 50% owned by Jew, 50% owned by non-Jew. So prior to baking, you must divide it and not bake the portion of the non-Jew because it's yantiv. So why don't we say the same thing over here regarding the shepherd bread where it's, let's just call it 50% shepherd, 50% dog. So the Gemara says, Shani says, Klavim, Hol, Ve'eshel, Ephaisim, and Nevela. So the Gemara right now tries to give a technical answer. Well, the could very well be that all the bread is going to be eaten by the shepherd, because what you could do is that you could appease the dogs by giving the dogs some nevela. Now, do you have the nevela right now currently? No, but you could get the nevela and you could appease the dog. So the Gemara says, really, that's interesting. So what is that? What is that argument called? That's an argument called Hoel. Hoel looks at what is a possibility, not what actually happened, but as long as it's within the realm of possibility. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rav Chista is concerned, what is his feelings about Hoel? So here we know exactly how he feels about Hoel. Well, me is the Rav Chista Hoel, the high itmar Hoel, the miyamta v'chol Rav Chista Amar, loka Rav Amar, no loka Rav Chista Amar, loka lo aminun Hoel, miklai le orchim, chazile, hashanami chazile, and Rav Amar, no loka aminun Hoel. So here we have the machlokas, basic machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabba. We touched on this machlokas in the beginning of the second parak of the Masechta, and that is that if I bake or cook from Yontif to the next day, which is a weekday, so am I violating an Isra of the Torah? So the answer is yes, but. So according to Rabba, there's no but. According to Rav Chista, there's no but. Meaning, if you're baking from Yontif to Chol, so you're violating the Torah. The Torah does allow you to cook on Yontif, but only for Yontif. If you're cooking on Yontif for a weekday, for the following day, which is a weekday, so that's a violation of Yontif and you're subject to Malkus. On the other hand, Rabba says no. Even though you are saying and articulating that you're baking from Yontif to weekday, but it's possible, it's within the realm of possibility that there is going to be a guest coming into your house. And since that's within the realm of possibility, so that saves you from the Isur Daraisa of cooking from Yontif to Chol. In other words, Rabba holds of Hoel. But Rav Chista clearly does not hold of Hoel. So El Alotemus of the Gemara says, you're right. So don't say Hoel Ve'efshar Ella Kagon, Diasle Nevela, Devan De'efshar Lefaisim Nevela. So the Gemara says, no, it's not where that we are suggesting that maybe as a Nevela, he actually has a Nevela, and he's going to be appeasing the dogs with the actual Nevela. So this is not a function of Hoel, meaning he actually has a Nevela. What comes out from this is that we have a basic machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, where I have a bread that is owned by shutfus between somebody that I'm allowed to cook for an yantif and somebody I'm not allowed to cook for an yantif. Four, the shita of Ravuna. So if it is a bread that is owned by shutfus, so you are in fact allowed to bake it on yantif, despite the fact that there's a portion of it that is not going to be that's not going to be consumed by a Jew, but nevertheless it would be fine. Mashenkin, according to Rav Chista, no. Rav Chista would tell you that if it's something that is if it's a dough b'shutfus, so one is not allowed to bake it on yantif. The only way one would be allowed to bake it on yantif is only the entire dough that you are baking is going to be consumed by a Jew. By Mine, with that in mind, the Gemara now wants to know. So they asked May Rav Huna the following question for Rav Huna: Hanei b'nei baga. So let's say you have these Jews living out in the villages. Deramu alai kimcha d'bein chela. Where they have the responsibility to go ahead and to cook for the soldiers. Local non-Jewish soldiers are in town, and the Jewish and the Jewish residents have the responsibility to go ahead and to house them and provide food for them. So can they go ahead and bake for them on Yontif itself? So that was the question that was posed to Rav Huna. So Amar Lahu, so he says to them, Chazina. So he says, we have to see. Let's say, of the bread that you're baking on Yantav, even though principally the bread that you're baking is going to be for the non-Jewish soldiers. But if you were to take one of the loaves of bread and hand it to a Jewish child, so now, so that means that in theory now, any one of the breads can be given over to a child. And under those circumstances, sure. That means to say now that any one of these breads is, in fact, potentially could be baked for a Jew, and despite the fact that not all of them are going to be baked for a Jew, but again, this is Rav Huna l'shita. So Rav Huna is of the opinion that despite the fact that not all the bread is being baked for a Jew, some of it's being baked for a Jew, some of it's being baked for a non-Jew, that would be sufficient grounds to go ahead and bake it on Yontif. That is shita's Rav Huna, and so basically, this is Rav Huna l'shita. So V'ilav aser. If on the other hand, if you were to just give even one loaf of bread over to a child, to a Jewish child, and they would not have any part of it, meaning they would object to that. So then, all this bread that's being baked is for a non-Jew. You're not allowed to break bread for a non-Jew on Yontif. It's the heter of ochel nefesh is only for baking bread of a Jew, not for a non-Jew. And so, since there is not going to be a partnership between Jew and non-Jew in the baking, so even Rav Huna, who ends up being a more makel position, but in this circumstance, he would not be makel. So Ve'atanya, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Why don't we consider the following brisa, which is Maisa B'Shimon HaTimni, an episode with Shimon HaTimni. Rashi says he comes from Timna, so it's probably pronounced Timni. Shalom Ba'Emesh. So. Well, the Beis Medrash. Yesterday, he didn't come to the Beis Medrash. B'shachris matzu Rav Yehuda ben Bava. And the next day, he was discovered by Rav Yehuda ben Bava. And Amar lo mimnei malo bata emesh lebeis medrash. And the question was very simple. How come we didn't go to the Beis Medrash? So Amar lo balashes. So he says, look, we had an army of non-Jewish soldiers that were coming through town. And by Liradim, b'kshalach tof es kol ha'ir. And what they wanted to do was grab the whole city, meaning they wanted to plunder. They wanted to take a lot of money. V'shachad nalem egel. So what we did on Yantiv is that we shechted for them a calf, and we fed them the calf for partunim l'shalom, and basically with a little bit of a bribe, a little bit of appeasement, just some good people skill. So basically, what we did is we averted a crisis, and we saved the city from being plundered by this army. So Amar lo, so Rav Yehuda ben Bava said in response, Tamani, I'm really wondering, im lo. So good. So you definitely got schar. You definitely got rewarded by not having the city plundered. But at the same time, you did cook on Yantiv, and you cooked on Yantiv for a non-Jew. And so, despite the fact that you got schar, but I'm just worried that the hesed is going to outweigh the schar. The hesed of having cooked on Yantiv, the iser of cooking on Yantiv, is going to well override the schar of saving all that money. Shari Amar Torah, the Torah says, Lachem, v'lo le'ovdei kochavim. So the Torah says that you are allowed to cook on Yantif for a Jew, but not for a non-Jew. And so if you prepare the eagle for a non-Jew, so that is going to be a violation of cooking on Yantif. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand, meaning assuming right now that this is a question on Rav Huna. No, that's not an assumption. It is a question on Rav Huna. So the Gemara now wants to know. Meaning Rav Huna would be fine with the cooking of the eagle on Yantif. As long as a portion of the eagle is to be eaten by a Jew. So this is a partnership, and the cooking of a food that's both for a Jew and for a non-Jew would in fact be allowed. It would be legitimate to do on Yantif. So according to Rav Huna, why should this be a problem? So that's the Gemara's question. So to which the Gemara answers, Amar of Yosef, in defense of Rav Huna. So eagle trefa havai. So it happens to be that the eagle under discussion over here is a trefa, meaning that a Jew cannot eat it because it's a trefa. And so now, unequivocally, this eagle is being cooked on Yantif, but only for the consumption of a non-Jew, not for that of a Jew. And so even Rav Huna would, of course, object to that. And according to Rav Huna, this would now constitute an Isser Daraisa of cooking on Yantif when there is no head to the cook on Yantif. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is that you can give it to a dog, and at this point in time, the Gemara is thinking that one would be allowed to do malacha for the consumption of an animal, and so the Gemara says Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's in fact subject to a machlokas at Tanaim. The Tanaim will learn to nebrais ach asher yachol lechol nefesh ulavedo yaselachem. So the pasuk says that you can cook on yantiv lechol nefesh mimashma shenemar. So kol nefesh would seem to indicate not just humans, but even animals as well. So we have precedent for that in Parshas Amor. So the Torah uses the word nefesh in relationship to an animal. So tamalam lachem. So the Torah therefore says lachem. Lachem v'loklavim divrei Rav Yosi Aglili. So according to the sheet of Rav Yosi Aglili, so one is not allowed to cook anyanta for a dog. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, no, you're allowed to cook for nefesh behemah, you're allowed to cook for an animal on yantiv. Imke matam alam lachem. So what is the Torah driving at when it says only you? So lachem, so it's to you and not to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, umari sarabos is a klavim, lahosi is ovdi kochavim. So the Gemara says, so we have basically a ribu and a miut, meaning on one hand, the Torah amplifies and says the word nefesh, which means that it comes to include even more. On the other hand, it says the word lachem, which means that it's coming to reduce and minimize. So how do we know which way to go? How would I know, the Gemara is asking, according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, how would I know that it's coming to include dogs and it's coming to exclude non-Jews? So the Gemara says, Mar ba'ani es ha-klavim, shem mezonos ha-malachem, amos ha-ani salv dikochem, lefi she'in mezonos ha-alachem. So the difference between the two is that when it comes to a dog, so he's looking to you, meaning he's usually dependent on you for his meal. So if the Torah is giving us a ribuy, so presumably it's coming to be marbe, an entity that is expecting you to feed them. As opposed to a non-Jew. A non-Jew obviously is not expecting you to feed them. So it would make more sense that given the choice where we have a ribuy, we have a biut, so we're going to come and marbe somebody, or in this case, not somebody, but an entity, animals that are looking to be fed, that are expecting to be fed, and we're coming to exclude non-Jews that are not expected to be fed. Okay. Comes out from all this now is that we have successfully defended Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says that if you are doing a malacha on Yantav where it's shared, it's a partnership, where some of it's owned by Jews, some of it's owned by non-Jews, so Rav Huna is of the opinion that you're allowed to engage in that malacha. If you have bread where some of its consumership is going to be Jew and some of it is going to be Guy, so you're allowed to bake that bread. And the Gemara challenged Rav Huna, but the Gemara defended Rav Huna. So Amalei by the Rav Yosef, Ula Rav Yosef Galila Damalachem Lola Klavim. So the Gemara over here just spends a moment focusing a little bit more on the sheet of Rav Yosef Galila. Rav Yosef Galila says that you cannot do malacha for a guy on Yantiv. You can't cook for a dog on Yantiv. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, Hani Sufle Lechivase. We're basically talking about the pits of a date. So Hechish Adnila Ubiyantiv. So how are we throwing it to an animal on Yantiv? Meaning that these pits, in order to be given to an animal, so it needs work, and it needs some labor. The Gemara doesn't explain how, but presumably the labor that's necessary is going to be a violation of Yantiv. And being that it's going to be going to a dog, so according to the Shita of Yosef Glili, so you're not allowed to violate Yantiv in order to prepare these day pits for the dog. So how do we do it? Meaning the Gemara is assuming right now that we do it, in fact. So how do we do it? How do we throw these day pits to the dog? So the Gemara says, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. Sorry, just read that. So Hechish Anilma B'Yamtov. So Amar Leho V'Chazel Asaka. So the Gemara's response is, well, you could take the day pits and you could use it in order to for fuel for the fire. Meaning it's not Muksa, because there are other uses that you could do with it on Yamtov. So I understand that the day pits are dry, so then they make excellent fuel. But Beritivta Michael Amemer. But if the day pits are wet or moist, so they're not going to be good fuel. So Amar Leh Chazel Asaka Gadol. So the Gemara says, no, it's still going to be good for even a large fire. And what if the day pits are moist? So Michael Amemer. So Amalei Chazel Asaka Gadol. So you can use for a big fire, meaning in a large fire. So eventually it's going to dry them out, and it's also going to contribute to the fuel. So Tenev Yantov. So the Gemara says that works very good on Yantov Shabbos Michael Amemer. But on Shabbos, obviously, where you can't make a fire with these day pits, so then what right do you have to go ahead and to give them to the animals? Meaning it's muksa on Shabbos, and really no other use for it on Shabbos. So is there any way where they could be moved and be given to the dogs? So matatul agarifta. So the Gemara says, yeah, they can be moved together with bread. Because bread is something where you could basically do whatever you want with bread. Now that statement in of itself is really a big statement and seemingly a broad statement. But basically the Gemara's point is that in order to allow the movement of certain muksa items, so they can be moved together with bread. Tosus reminds us over here, the third Tosus on the Amud, that this allowance to go ahead and move things together with bread in conjunction with bread is honestly limited. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kufman Bay says that this is only in reference to a mace. No other item of muksa can be moved together with bread. Tosus addresses. See the Tosus over there who makes an attempt to understand the Gemara in Shabbos relative to what we're learning right now. Anyway, what comes out over here is that even according to the Shita of Rav Yosef Glili, that you're not allowed to go ahead and do malacha for an animal on Yantiv, but still there are ways, there are allowances in order to move the day pits and give them to a dog, both on Yantiv and even on Shabbos as well. Okay, so what comes out now over here is the following. We have now been discussing for a good part of the daf the Shita of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is of the opinion that as long as baking includes Sarech of a Goy and Sarech of a Jew, so Rav Huna says that would in fact be allowed on Yantiv. So the Gemara now, it's a plea to Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So this position, Rav Huna, that we have been citing, quoting, defending, so the Gemara now notes that it goes against the Shita of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Dama Rav Yeshua ben Levi, because the Shita of Rav Yeshua ben Levi mezamen sanachri b'Shabbos. So one is in fact allowed to invite a non-Jew over on Shabbos, ve'in mezamna sanach b'yom tov, but one is not allowed to invite a non-Jew over on Yom Tov zereshem yarbe b'shvilo, because what you may end up doing is you may end up cooking more for the non-Jew on Yom Tov. And now, obviously, over here, the Shita Rav Yeshua ben Levi is really going against the Shita Rav Huna, because according to Rav Huna, even if I end up cooking more for the non-Jew, so what? In other words, that bishul is going to be a combination of cooking for both Jew and non-Jew. And Rav Huna has been saying now over the course of the daf that would be okay. So the Gemara now notes that this obviously goes against the Shita Rav Yeshua ben Levi, because Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that you're not allowed to cook for Jew and non-Jew, meaning that if I invite a non-Jew, so that means that I'm now cooking on his behalf in addition to that to all the Jewish people that are eating at the table. And that would be a violation. Says Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Obviously, the Gemara notes that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is in opposition to the Svara of Rav Huna. So Rav Ada by Yaakov Amar Afilu b'Shabbos Nami Lo Mishum Shiur Kosos. Now the Gemara notes that according to Rav Acha by Yaakov, you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew over even on Shabbos, because it presents another halachic dilemma, and that is what's left over in the cup. Meaning that when the goy is going to be drinking the wine over in your house on Shabbos, so there's going to be a little bit of wine left over. The Gemara over here describes it as shiure kosos, and that's going to be a problem. Why? Because when he is going to leave over a little bit of wine in the cup, so that little wine that's left over is going to be muksa. And so it basically is going to create muksa on Shabbos. So, and not only is the wine going to be muksa, but the cup also is going to be muksa. The cup is going to be muksa because the cup itself is going to be a basis l'davar ha'aser. It's going to be the basis of holding the wine. Ihachi, the Gemara says, well, if that's true, in other words, if you really feel that that's going to be a problem, didanami. So the Gemara says, well, the same thing could be said regarding our cups of wine as well. So in other words, when you're left with wine at the very bottom, so no one's going to want to drink the wine that's left over at the bottom of the cup. So that could also be viewed as muksa. We'll call that muksa machmas mius. And again, once that's muksa, so at the same time, now the cups are going to be muksa as well. So the Gemara says, didan chazal tarnigolim, didu nami chazal tarnigolim. Well, isn't the leftover wine in our cup going to be okay for chickens? Meaning, whatever little wine is left over in the cup could be used and given over to chickens. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why can't I say the wine that was left over in the cups of the non-Jew? So the Gemara gives the obvious answer, didu isurin non-Jew. No. Because when it comes to the wine that's left over in the cup of a non-Jew, so that wine has the status of stam yena. Stam yena, we know, it has the halacha being not only aser b'achila, aser b'hana. Albeit mid derabanan, but doesn't matter. In other words, mid derabanan, so stam yena is going to be aser b'achila v'hana. You can't give it to the chickens because giving it to the chickens would be a form of hana, and obviously it's aser b'hana. Velitotolino agav kasa. So the Gemara says, now, why don't we move it together with a cup? Meaning we were assuming right now that since the wine that's left over on the bottom is going to be muksa, so we suggested just moments earlier that the cup also is going to be muksa, because the cup now is a basis of davar asur. What the Gemara now is proposing is, wait one second, why don't we say that the cup really is the kli, the main kli, and the little wine that's in there is just almost like incidental to the cup. And the Gemara says, and you know, this is precedented. So Milo Amarava Matatlan Kanuna Agav Kitme, Av Agav Di Ika La Shiva Eitzim. So the halach is as follows. So you have an ash bowl. Okay, now back in the day, an ash bowl was helpful. It had utility on Shabbos. Obviously, it was set aside before Shabbos, but the ash bowl was basically a bowl of ashes. And what good are ashes on Shabbos? So somebody, let's say, for example, spit on the ground, and it's disgusting. So you could take the ashes from the ash bowl and use it to cover it up. Anyway, so the ash bowl has purpose and utility on Shabbos. Now, it also happens to be that even though you made an ash bowl, there's still some pieces of wood chips in the ash bowl. Now, those wood chips don't have any value or any purpose to it. And meanwhile, what do we say? So we say that those wood chips are so incidental, meaning that really the main item is the bowl. And the ashes that are in the bowl, and the wood chips are just totally incidental. So why don't we make the same argument over here? There's a little bit of wine left over by the guy in the cup. So why don't we say that really fundamentally? Let's look at the cup, and the little wine that's in there is totally incidental, and it's not going to change the status of the cup. So the Gemara says the cases are different. Hasam lavisurinan and hanan and ohacha isurinan and the Gemara says yeah, but the cases are different. In the case of the ashes and the bowl, so over there, there's no Isser Hana, meaning at worst, at best, what we're talking about is that the wood chips are muksa. Okay, but in other words, the wood chips that are there are really incidental. They're really not the main item. And so therefore, they are going to be incidental to the bowl. And really, the bowl is going to have the main status. So that would be in the case of the bowl. Mashenkin over here, when we have the cups and the little wine remained after the non-Jew drank from it, so that little wine that remains in the bottom, so that's aser b'hana'a. You can't just simply dismiss and say, well, that's just incidental, it's not that significant. The fact that it's aser b'hana'a, that ister gives it a significance, and so therefore, we can't just simply dismiss it. It is, in fact, significant, and because of its significance, so therefore now, it's a davar muksa. The cup that's holding it is also a davar muksa. So the Gemara says that obviously now becomes a problem. So Amalei Rav Achmi Diftel Ravina. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about the following solution? And that is, Ala Havek Graf Shalri. Well, isn't it no different than having, let's say, a bowl that's filled with excrement or urine, and where the halacha is very clear that you're allowed to take that, you're allowed to remove that from your house on Shabbos, meaning a Graf Shalri. So you have every right to eject it from your home on Shabbos. It allows us to take out the garbages on Shabbos. So Amalei V'chios and Graf Shari'i L'chatilo, the Gemara says, yeah, but if you invite the non-Jew over and they're going to be drinking from the wine and you know it's going to be creating this situation, So the Gemara describes it, puts it under the category of making a graf shari'i lichatchila. And the Gemara says, and that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to make a graf shari'i lichatchila. And so the Gemara, at least within the Shita of Rav Acha, says that there really is no solution to allowing to invite a guy over even on Shabbos because of this problem that he presented, in that it's going to be creating muksa in your house. The cups with the leftover wine that he drank from is going to be muksa, and there is really no good solution to it. Okay. Rav Yeshua Ben Levi doesn't necessarily agree with that. He says that he can't invite them over on Yantip, but Shabbos would be fine. And the Gemara doesn't go over the back and forth in terms of why Rav Yeshua Ben Levi does not bother so much with the Shabbos issue. Anyway, one more point that Gemara is going to make regarding this halacha of not inviting a non-Jew over on Yantiv. Adabri Rav Lamar Shmuel V'darash Mizamnes Anachri B'Shabbos Ve'in Mizamnes Anachri B'Yamtov Zerah Shemir Yarbe B'Shilom. So the Gemara says that Rav and Mar Shmuel were walking down and they issued the following psak, and that is that you can invite a non-Jew over to your house for Shabbos because there's no problem, meaning all the food that's cooked has already been cooked prior to Shabbos, and so therefore there's no concern that maybe you're going to add to him. And the entire discussion that we have for the last 5 minutes about him drinking wine, creating stam yenam in the bottom of the cups, which are going to be muksa, so the Gemara simply does not feel that that's an issue, not according to the shitas of Rava nor Mar Shmuel. However, on Yantav, you can't invite them over. Why? Because the concern is that you're going to end up adding more food, cooking more food for the non-Jew. You're not allowed to cook more food for the non-Jew. What you're cooking is going to be a combination of food for a Jew, food for a non-Jew. So obviously over here, the Psak Halach is following within the Shita, not of Rav Huna, but rather that of Rav Yishuv and Levi. And presumably Rav Chista that we saw in the Amud Aleph. Mereimar Marzucho, you have a mikle lehu nachri. So Mereimar Marzucho, so when they would invite a non-Jew, be yomtov, and they would do so in yomtov, amrulei, so they said the following to him, ini chalach b'maideh tarich nalan, so if you're happy with what we prepared for you, so the mutav, that's great. If you love, however, if you're not happy with what we prepared for you, so tarchi yisera adaita didach lo tarchinan, we're not going to go ahead and do any additional preparations for you. So basically they said to them, look, what we prepared is what we prepared. We're not going to make any extra preparations for you. And if you're good with that, so then you can go ahead and you can sit down and join us and be our guest for Yantav. And presumably under those circumstances, meaning assuming that they agree to those ground rules, so then it would halachically be okay to have them come over for Yantav. We're going to stop over here. And we'll pick it up with the Mishnah for Daf Chav Beis.